Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
There's no one.
day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, March the 12th, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some very beautiful and anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. So on behalf of myself and the Spirit Alive family, we want to welcome you to this morning's service. We truly pray that you will hear something that will uplift your spirit and bless your soul. So right now, won't you bow your head with me as we go to the Lord and open up this praise party with prayer. Hallelujah. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we just come now praising you for yet another opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask your blessings upon this worship service. We ask that everything that we say and that we do, Father God, be pleasing to you. We pray, Lord God, that you will use this worship service to encourage your people, to disciple your people, hallelujah, and help your people to live a more abundant life. And Father God, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that today would be the day that they would come and make Jesus their Lord and their Savior. Lord, I pray this and all other things in your precious and wonderful Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Let the Church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the highly esteemed mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and read to you from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So right now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen. Mother Mitchell? Well, my Lord. Mother Mitchell must be having some technical difficulties. So what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to go head on and we're going to go forth with the reading. Amen and glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And all right, let's try it again. So let's see if Mother Mitchell can now come on in the room. Mother Mitchell, are you with us? All right. I don't know what God is doing. Okay, Mother Mitchell?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, go ahead and read, please. Yes.
Okay. The meditational reading is entitled Count on God's Forgiveness. We'll be looking at Hebrews 10 and 2, which reads in part, for the worshipers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sin. Now, what are you more conscious of today, your sins or the fact that you have been forgiven? My friends, don't be conscious of your sins. Be conscious instead of Jesus and his finished work. The Lamb of God has taken away all your sins at the cross. So count on the fact that you are a forgiven child of God. No matter what has happened or what you have done, God wants you to know that because of his son's finished work, he will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and lawless deeds. He will remember no more. You can read about that in Hebrews 8 through 12. That is why you shall not be conscious of your sins. In fact, when you are sin conscious, the devil brings in condemnation, and the more you receive it and condemn yourself, the more you will find yourself unforgiving toward yourself and even others. I was told by a pastor friend that when a baby who had cancer on her face asked for prayer for healing, the Lord revealed to him that it was self-hatred that was keeping her from receiving her healing. She could not forgive herself and was full of self-condemnation. When she realized her problem, she counted on the fact that God was merciful to her unrighteousness and that she was already forgiven. She received the love of God. Then right there before the pastor's eyes, her whole face changed. She received her healing that very moment. Something happens when you believe that you are forgiven. That is why God says to you, I want you to believe that all your sins I will remember no more. I want you to believe that you are my child, enjoying my mercy, and that you can always count on my forgiveness. Beloved, remember that all your sins have already been paid for by Jesus on the cross. And the more you count on the fact that you have the Father's forgiveness and that he does not condemn you because of Jesus' finished work, the more so-on will lose their grip on you. You will find yourself walking in a greater measure of God's grace and blessings. May the Lord add blessings of favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for today, count on the fact that you are a forgiven child of God. Amen and glory to God.
Amen.
Love for you is forever, yeah, yeah. Jesus, you're
give it, turn it over to him today.
Totally committed to you. Hallelujah. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we just come together as a family to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, saved and unsaved, all over the world. Because when we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we truly pray expecting God to do everything that he says he will do. So we pray expecting, trusting, and believing that God can and will answer our prayer. So at this time, I beseech you to clear your minds and prepare to go to the throne of grace with our much beloved Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. We praise God for another day, and we're going to go in prayer. So I'm asking that you bow your heads and your hearts before our Heavenly Father. Father God, we come to you today. We come to you, Lord, giving. We come to you just being grateful for all that you are, and we thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do for us, your children. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you at any time, hallelujah, and ask of you for what we need, and we know that it will be granted. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you for the assurance, hallelujah, salvation. We thank you. We thank you and we praise you. And Father God, we come to you not only for our own selves, but for those across the nation, all over the world. We lift up your people everywhere, God, in the name of Jesus. And first of all, we lift up those, Lord, that don't know you in the pardoning of their sins. We ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus, that you would move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, that you will draw them, hallelujah, unto you in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that witnesses will touch, and we too as your witnesses, as we go out and as we come in contact with your people that don't know you, Lord. We pray that they will be blessed by what we speak into them, that we give them the good news in the name of Jesus concerning you, God, in Jesus' name, and allowing them to know that they need a Savior, allowing them to know that you love them so much, Lord, that you laid down your life and died on the cross for each and every one. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you that the good news will continue to be spread even in a greater way, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. We pray for those, Lord, that don't know you, that we know, that we come in contact with, and those that we don't know. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we pray that our lives will make a difference. Hallelujah. In the lives of others, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that you are the controller of all things. We ask, Lord, that you would be in control, hallelujah, over all of the things that are happening all across the world right now, in Jesus' name. The tragedies, hallelujah, be in everyone, in Jesus' name. Be in every storm, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The earthquakes, the tornadoes, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, the stormy weather, hallelujah, that's affecting so many right now. We pray that you would step in, Lord, and that you would take control. And not only that you would take control, Lord, but the people will begin to want to take control of their own lives by allowing you, hallelujah, to change, to transform them,
yes, Lord God, into the lives
that you would have them to be. In Jesus' name, oh God, in the name of Jesus, do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for the suffering. We pray for the persecuted. We pray, Lord, that you would move into these areas in great ways, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray your hand of protection over those that you're sending to be a help, in the, as well as those, Lord, that are going through the suffering. We pray for your hand of protection to be upon them in Jesus' name. But most of all, Lord, we pray that they will know you, that they will begin to look to you, Lord, in these conditions in Jesus' name. Oh, in the name of Jesus, have your way, God, in Jesus' name. And we lift up your children everywhere. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, oh, God, that you would heal, in the name of Jesus, those that are in traumatic situations, Lord. We pray that, you will protect them, that you will free them from it, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, those that are caught in the human trafficking situations, Lord, those that are need to be rescued, we pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will continue to be rescued out of those situations in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will bring about justice in Jesus' name. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our children in the schools. We pray, Lord, that you will that you will watch over them, hallelujah, that you will bring in teachers, Lord, that know you in the name of Jesus, and principals and the administrators, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that it will make a difference in Jesus' name. And we just praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for the areas that we can see change in. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have been answered. We thank you, Lord, for the conditions that have been made better. We thank you, hallelujah. We praise you in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you would remember those today that are in juvenile halls and in jails and prisons. We pray, Lord, that you will, the message will go forth, hallelujah, that they will hear about you, hallelujah, more and more, Lord. Cause more and more to turn towards you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray that you will use the chaplains, hallelujah, not to bless them, Lord, just to be there to for their jobs, Lord, and for their earnings, but also that they will have a heart for your people in the name
That's
of Jesus
right.
that
yeah.
are your chaplains, hallelujah,
yeah.
that are confined. We pray, Lord, that they will
That's
their lives
right.
will be
yes,
touched
sir.
Through them in the name of Jesus, that they will really know what their purpose is in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We praise
thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. We
praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, just bless everywhere, Lord. Those that are in the hospital, those that are sick, hallelujah.
Touch those, Lord, that are
feeling like there is no hope and they won't be well.
Help them
to realize and know, God, through others, hallelujah, that you are the great physician. Hallelujah, that you are the healer. Hallelujah, you are the one that will raise them up. You are the one, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
yes,
that will totally heal in Jesus' name. In
the
name of Jesus.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Lift up those today that have hung down heads. Those, Lord, that feel like there is no hope for them because they're looking at their conditions. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries this morning,
oh
God, and we lift up all the other ministries. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in our lives and through our lives and all the conditions, Lord, that we go through. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray, hallelujah, that you will continue to move in us and through us in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We pray.
Hallelujah.
your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God.
Yes.
I love
yes.
your voice. You have led me through the fire
yes.
in darkest night. You are close like no other.
Yes.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Hey!
For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able.
First, I want to give all honor and glory to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the anointed servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and to all of you, God's elect. I bid you good morning and blessings to you and your household. Our message for today will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 18, and we will be looking at verses 12 through 21. That's Acts chapter 18, verses 12 through 21. Now, if you're listening via your computer or smartphone and you don't have a Bible, you can simply go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts 18, verses 12 through 21, and the passage will be brought up for you. And just know that I usually read from the King James Version. Now, my lesson for today is entitled Promoting God's Purposes, as recorded in our passage today. So now, let's take a look at Acts chapter 18, verses 12 through 21. And the word of the Lord reads as follows. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after he tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn their head in Cenchrea, he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he considered not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come once again before your throne of grace, praying, Father God, that you completely empty me of self, so that you allow me to completely decrease, Lord, so that you can have all the increase. Because, Father God, you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men into yourself. Lord, use me to teach effectively so that I might bless your people, edify your people, encourage your people. And so that someone that does not know you in the pardon of their sin will want to come and start a relationship with you and to be saved. It is in your name that I do pray all things. Amen. And God, to you I give all the glory.
Amen.
Now, we believe that God has called his church to fulfill five main purposes. They are sharing the good news through evangelism, building people's faith through discipleship, helping people connect with God through worship, helping people to connect with other believers through friendship and fellowship, not to mention helping other people discover and develop their God-given gifts so that they might use them to help build up others. So you might ask yourself, why these five? Well, in one form or another, they are all found in the book of Acts as important in the early church. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 gives a brief description of the early church establishing a pattern for churches to follow. Now, we can't be a first century church, but we can most certainly be a biblical church that is following God's purposes right now in the 21st century. So today our main focus relates to the purposes of God and how we as individuals and as the body of Christ must make the will of God the most important pursuit of our lives. So now I'd like to share three truths that will help us to better align our lives with what God wants to do in them to promote his purposes here on earth. The first thing I'd like to follow point out is that God's purposes are sometimes furthered by unlikely people. As we just read in Acts 12 through 17, there was a man named Gallio who was the proconsul of Achaia. And the Jews made a united, when the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into the court and told him, this man, they said, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. And before Paul could speak, Gallio said to the Jews, now, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourself. I will not be a judge of such things. So he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on the Sustines, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. You see, thanks to God, sometimes even people who do not know God unknowingly help in carrying out his will and his purposes.
Yeah.
Who was this man named Gallio? Well, he was born in Spain as Marcus Ananias Nabutus, but took on the last name, Gallio, when he came to Rome and was adopted by somebody with the same name. His brother's name was Seneca, who was tutor and advisor to the wicked ruler Nero. And later, Nero, in his insanity, commanded that commanded Gallio's brother to kill himself, and he did it, asked to be spared. But Nero killed him anyway, too. Seneca wrote about his brother, Gallio, noting that he had health problems, but was very intelligent. He hated flattery and was blessed with a pleasant personality. And as the word declares, he was the proconsul of Achaia from July of A.D. to 51 until June of A.D. 52. So it was sometimes during that year of appointment that he did indeed dismiss Paul's case. Now, the point I want to make here is that in verse 10, God had told Paul not to be afraid to tell people the good news about Jesus because he had people in Corinth. Guess what? Gallio was one of those people. Yeah. Not in the sense of being a follower like of Christ, but in the sense that he was being used by God to protect Paul from harm. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Now, this may have been in reference to godly kings who obeyed the Lord, but certainly the Lord is always in control and can put both good things and bad things in the hearts of rulers in accordance with their desire to do right or wrong. God will accomplish his purposes by using both the ungodly as well as the godly. You see, Gallio was just doing his job, but he refused to meddle in what to him was a religious matter. He basically told them to settle it amongst themselves in their own synagogue and have them removed from his court. However, as Pilate, Herod, and so many other rulers did, Gallio could have tried to appease the Jews and have Paul arrested. But you see, God had greater plans. So he put it in Galileo's heart to just turn away from the entire matter. Now, we don't know much about these such things, but according to the Western and Byzantine Greek manuscripts, which the King James Version uses, by the way, all the Greeks grabbed him and beat him up. This would indicate that they were not happy with the Jews, and they took it out on their synagogue ruler. And in light of Gallio's dismissal of the Jews' case against Paul and kicking them out of court, perhaps these Greeks saw it as their chance to strike a blow against the Jews. Most other ancient manuscripts do not mention the Greeks as the ones who beat the Philistines up. Other manuscripts simply say they all took hold of him and began to beat him. So it probably wasn't even the Jews who took hold of him, unless he had become a Christian, which was a possibility. The most likely scenario is that the Greek did indeed beat up the Jewish ruler of the synagogue as a lesson to the rest of the Jews to stay in line and not meddle with the Roman legal system to further their own cause. But the bottom line here is this. God kept Paul safe for the time and furthered his own purposes through unlikely people like Gallio and the mob of the Greek thugs. When we think about it, we are sometimes the unlikely means God wants to use to further his purposes. You see, you have to understand that God uses ordinary people. We can't always be looking to the preachers. We can't always be looking to the evangelists, the missionaries. We can't always be looking to the teachers. We have to understand that God uses unlikely people, ordinary people. Because, yeah. You know, most of us don't see ourselves as being anything great. However, Paul writes that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. That's 1 Corinthians 27-29.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage your heart today. If you think that maybe you aren't fit to be used by God, you're absolutely right. However, what you got to realize is that God purposely uses those that see themselves as small to accomplish big things through his mighty power. So we can see that God promotes his purposes through some unlikely candidates sometimes. But when we are willing to let him use us, hallelujah, great things can be achieved for the kingdom of God.
Yes, it can.
If we want to be effective in promoting God's purposes, there's another ingredient that we need in our lives, and that's commitment. You see, God's purposes are advanced through our own personal commitment. Let's look at Acts 18 and 18 again. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of the vow he had taken. Now, what kind of vow was this, and why would Paul make such a vow? Well, let me explain. This was a Nazarite vow, a Jewish practice of showing gratitude to God. It is described in the Old Testament in Numbers 6. Although it may have changed a little by Paul's time, Paul was likely doing it because he was a Jew who wanted to visibly thank God for blessing the ministry and giving him protection in Corinth. He also wanted to make it very clear that he belonged to God and God alone. You see, this was a vow of separation from anything unclean and that wasn't of God. Among other things, a Nazarite vow involved letting one's hair grow for a predetermined period of time. Paul was a Jew through and through. And the end of the vow required that he take his locks of hair to Jerusalem within 30 days to offer with a sacrifice. So now, where do these vows fit today? Should Christians make vows to show, you know, God how grateful they are? What do you think? I believe that the answer is twofold. I think that we should make such vows today to show God how much we love him and how grateful we are. But I believe the answer is twofold. First, yes, we need to be grateful to God for his loving care and provisions in our lives. If we choose to make a vow to God to express our thankfulness, that's great. As long as we are willing to fulfill what we promise. You see, thanks to God, we can't be making promises and then bailing out. Second, we can't use our vow as a bargaining chip. Mm-hmm. There were people who did this in the Bible, but we never find it where it was encouraged or promoted as a pattern for us to use. In a sense, our very lives should be a vow to the Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. Lord, I'll live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. So the relevance of a vow as a bargaining chip, that's not going to work. But there's relevance of a vow that makes a commitment to God, saying that we're going to give ourselves over fully to him in every area of our lives. As we look at the purposes of the church, we might sense the Lord leading us into a deeper commitment to evangelism, or maybe to discipleship or worship, to fellowship or to ministry. You see, every blood-washed believer should promote all five of these kingdom components, but perhaps right now, the Lord wants you to focus on one for a season and really invest yourself in it through prayer and training. Maybe God has gifted you in one of these areas more than in others. Well, I tell you this one thing, my beloved brother or sister. I say go with your gift. Please use it and develop the gift God has given you. Now, that doesn't mean that you will only do what you are gifted to do, because God sometimes asks us to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes he asks us to move outside of our natural giftedness and just trust him with the results. What are some expressions of commitment that might help us become more available and prepared for fulfilling God's purposes? Well, we can commit to regular times of prayer and reading God's word. We can commit to times of fasting where we deny ourselves those ordinary cravings and appetites in order to hear from God better. This is not only very biblical, but it's also a practice that seems to be neglected today. You see, so many of us seem to have food and chemical addictions. We want to we even call it comfort food. But other expressions of commitment might include setting aside one day each week to give to the Lord. Don't use it as a work day or personal project day or even a recreation day. Just rest and hang out with the Lord and your family. Just go up there and inquire. Just go up there and just hang out in his temple. Don't go up there, don't ask for nothing. Just go up there, just sit down and just listen. See what he tells you. This might be Sunday for you, or Saturday, or some other day. You know, you can choose whatever day you want to do it. One expression of commitment might be to disconnect your cable, your satellite, and just leave everything, you leave the TV alone.
Yeah.
You know, you need to reinvest some of that TV time, that FaceTime, that, you know, all the that TikTok time, that Instagram time. You need to rededicate some of that time back to prayer, back to reading your Bible. Try reading a good Christian book. Now, thanks to God, these are just ideals. You're the one that's going to have to choose what kind of commitment you need to make to get closer to God. You're the one that knows what you can and cannot do, but you are also the only one that knows what you need to do in order for God to work through your life. So ask the Lord to show you what it is he wants you to do, and then be obedient. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to our final point. God's purposes give direction to true Christ followers. Look what it says again in verses 19 through 21. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue, and he reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it's God's will. Then he set sail for Ephesus. See, what we need to understand, saints of God, is God's will is the compass for every last one of us that are truly following Jesus. The Bible is our roadmap for life. Why? Because the Bible shows us what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we find general directions and guidelines to live by, but God often uses particular scriptures to help confirm specifically what he wants us to do in any given situation. So why did Paul refuse to stay in Ephesus when they had asked him to? Well, part of the reason was because he had to get to Jerusalem to fulfill the rest of his vow. He also wanted to visit several other churches along the way before arriving there in Acts 21. The other part of the equation is that Paul was following the will of the Lord in his life. And at the present time, he didn't believe the Lord wanted him to stay in Ephesus. He was leaving Aquila and Priscilla there and knew that God would use them to spread the good news about Jesus and help build the church. But you know what? I really like what Paul says in verse 21. He said, I will come back if it's God's will. Now, can you think of anybody else that likes to say that? Let me give you a hint. James, a servant of the Lord, he talked about that. James said in chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go or do this or that, or go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see, following God's will is the one thing that will keep us on the right track. Now, if we presumptuously make our own plans without even acknowledging God, we're going to miss out on what he wants to do in us and through us. Can we think of any other reasons why it's so important to do what God wants and why we should always consider that and why we should always concern ourselves so much with finding out what he wants for our lives? Well, let me give you one of the best reasons I can think of. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Knowing and obeying God's will is of utmost importance for those of us that follow Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says you can't make it into the kingdom without that. Not only will neglecting God's will cause us to wander aimlessly through life, never making a positive difference, but it will also leave us without hope in the next life. God's will is that nobody die or perish without him. That's God's will. However, it is only through a relationship of love and obedience that we will one day see our Jesus, see our Father face to face.
Face to face. Yeah.
As we close, I want to ask you, how concerned are you with doing what God wants? Is his will important to you? A few weeks ago, we read in Acts 17 and 30 that God now commands all men everywhere to repent and put their faith in Jesus. Well, if you have not done that yet, then there is no question about what he wants you to do today. You can make things right with God before you even leave this studio, before you even leave this atmosphere, before you even leave the sound of my voice. And if you're already in a relationship with the Lord, ask yourself, am I really doing what he wants me to do? Am I really committed to hearing his voice and then obeying his voice? You know, I tell people all the time, you need to remember something, that when you make a commitment, your word is your bond. You see, I tell people that go out to the prisons and those ministers that go out to the nursing home, I tell them, when you tell that administrator or that warden or that chaplain that you're going to be there at a certain time, you're not making that commitment to them. You're making that commitment to God. In that moment, you're telling God, God, if it be your will, I'm going to show up and I am going to do what I told this chaplain or this administrator I was going to do. We have to really check ourselves and ask ourselves, am I really promoting God's purposes or am I promoting my own? Am I totally sold out to Jesus? Am I totally, totally committed to him and to him alone? Or am I trying to be committed to him on Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, but I'm committed to man all the rest of the time of the week? Ask yourself the hard question. Because, see, tomorrow's not promised to us. If there was any time for us to get real, get right, and get down to promoting the will of God and the purposes of God, today would be that day. So I pray that you would always remember the goodness of God. Because, see, when remembering the goodness of God, we remember that he does all things for our good. And we don't have to walk in fear because he has plans of good, not evil for us. When we're walking according to his purpose, there is no condemnation. There should be no more shame. There should be no more doubt. All we need to do is stand on what God has already told us he wanted us to do. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with some new and approved thing. Let's just do what God has already told us to do. Hallelujah. Let's just love God and love his people in a way that we want to go out and tell everybody about the God we serve. And we want to tell everybody about our Lord and Savior that pulled us up out of the miry muck and washed us whiter than snow. We want to tell God that we love him through the way we live our lives. We want to show God our gratitude by the way we live our lives that will promote his purposes. We should be actively evangelizing the world. We should actively be leading others and discipling others. We should actively be coming together into fellowship and worship and do ministry together. And if you haven't committed yourself to any of those things, I pray that you do that today. Amen. And to Amen. God be the glory. Amen. I am through teaching for today. So right, and I pray that you did hear something that blessed you.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
At this time, I'm going to give you the rest of the order of service. I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa will come in, and I'm going to ask her to seal this teaching with prayer because she is an intercessor. She is a prophet. She is a teacher. She is an anointed servant leader. So I'm going to ask her to do that in a moment. And then while she's talking, while she's praying, I want you to search yourself. And if you have not given your life to Christ, if you have not been promoting God's purposes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change that and get that right before God. So I'm going to ask that Apostle Zeta come back in, and she's going to lead you in that process. And following that, we will have a word from our mighty man of God, because the brethren here at Spirit Alive are very important to us. We want them to know that we expect them to be the man of God and do things in God's order. So it has been laid upon my heart to just have Bishop come and say a word to the men, directly to the brothers. But right now, I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa come forth and she pray for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Thank you for that message. Thank you for being a willing vessel. And thank you for the power of God's holy word over our lives. Father God, we come to you right now sealing this word, the importance of it and everything, and the impotent potency of your word, that it is truth, that it be embedded in our hearts today, Lord, and that we intentionally agree with it, intentionally let it germinate in our hearts so we can apply it in our lives, that this will be a revisit of Acts 18 and remembering Paul's example, his level of commitment, his focus of what he did despite what he faced, and how he heard your word and began to just take that as truth. Lord, today I thank you, Father God, take your word as truth, that no matter what is going on with us, that that becomes the focal point, that everything in us that gets in the way of us agreeing with your word in a place of commitment and submission to you, to your total will, not just permissible will that are in our soul that are less than. But I thank you, Father God, today that this word will go forth. Make up in your mind today, body of Christ, those who are listening, to agree with the word of God and to seek understanding with his word that he has spoken over your life based on the role and that he has called you to, whatever it is, made a study and a place of commitment and submission, no matter how hard or unforeign or foreign it is to you, so that God can give you a place of rest and peace, and so there will be true growth. So I thank you, Lord, today for that and true unity. There's so many things that we pray about in the body, but it has to do with us agreeing and accepting your word and serving you and not our own ambitions and not people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. Thank you, beloved sister. And at this time, I'm going to call it once again on one who does have a fivefold ministry. She is busy in all five of those areas of service. I'm going to call on Apostle Zeta Flowers, and she's going to lead you in the process of getting right with God, and then she will pray for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. We know that God loves all of us, and he desires to have all of us to be saved. So I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'm going to lead you into a prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to Romans 8, 9, and 10. At least those scriptures. Verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." The word is near you this morning. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. God has given everyone a measure of faith so that we can believe and believe in him. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved, we first need to admit the fact that we are a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need to admit that, the fact that we are sinners. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And then we're confessing that, but then we're going to also confess other things. Praise God. Praise God. So when we come to the Lord, to be saved, and he died on the cross for all of us to be saved. Jesus gave up his life so that we could live everlasting with him. So let us pray. Lord, I come to you knowing that I am a sinner, but also knowing that Jesus died on the cross for me to save me from all of my sins and to bring me into his righteousness. So I desire that God will accept me as I am. And I do desire to be saved. I would like salvation is also for me, as it is for those that are already saved. And on this day, I would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I also want to know more about you and to be taught all of the things of God in Jesus' name. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do believe that you are the Son of God. You were raised from the dead, as I have been told, for my sins, and so that I am free. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And glory to God. Amen. Father God, we just want to thank you for all the new converts, Father God, and we just pray in the name of Jesus that they, Lord, would find a local church, people, a body of believers to gather together with, Lord God, so that they might be discipled, so that they might grow in you, Lord God, and be effective witnesses for you, Lord. We want people to truly love you and be effective for you, God. So we just praise you for each and every one that came all around the world. We praise you for each and every person that will give their lives to you and when they listen to this and rebroadcast. Lord God, we know that when your word goes out and our prayers go up, things change, things move, things happen, Lord God. And we're just praising you right now for all the good and for all the increase that you have for yourself on today. So, Lord, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we do pray it all. And we thank you for our new converts. We thank you for those that are giving their lives back to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at this time, we're going to hear from the mighty man of God for our, in our assembly, and that is Bishop Lester Carver, as he comes to give a heartfelt word to the brothers. Amen.
Man Apostle Cook, praise the Lord, man of God. Today, what I want to share with you is that you are the minister of your family. You are the head of your household, not your pastor, not your apostle, not your bishop, you. And God has entrusted you with the responsibility over the people in your house. Your concern is for their spiritual well-being, their physical well-being, their mental well-being, their emotional well-being, their financial well-being. And God has entrusted you to ensure this, to do your absolute best to care for them so that they can focus on their relationship with him because of the security that they find in your covering. So I want to share this verse with you from Acts chapter 16, verse 31 that says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. See, for those of you who just got saved today, salvation is not just for you as a man, it's your entire household. And you are God. You are the covering for your entire household. Now, in the time when this was written, your household might involve your wife and your children, but also your servants. And so when you look at this, in Joshua 24:15, it says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, and in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what this verse was speaking to was the children of Israel had all these enemies who served idols. And God caused all the idol worshipers to be wiped out by the flood. And then he gave the land of these idol worshipers to those who love God, those who were called of God. And he said, if it's evil to you to serve God, you make a decision today. Because, see, you can't serve the world and serve God. You're going to choose. And if you're going to be in my house, then we're going to serve the Lord. And that has to be your position. But what it requires of us as men is humility and submission to God. And when those in our household see us humbly submitting to God in prayer and in thanksgiving and in our purpose, you'll see how those in our household follow us. So look at what it says in Ephesians 4:31-32. It says, let all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So what happens is when those in our household see the transformation in our life, and they see us manifesting the fruit, producing the fruit of self-control in our life, then they'll begin to produce the fruit of self-control in their life. When they see us producing the fruit of love in our life, produce the fruit of love in their life. So it is with love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. When we model those fruit of the Spirit in our household, then those within our household will follow us, even our children. So what it says in Proverbs 22:6 is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our confidence in the promises of God in his word is that our training of our children is really what they see us do. All the talk in the world will not help. They're looking at you. And they're going to copy what they see even when they don't understand it. And you got to remember, they're kids, so they really don't understand what they're looking at. But when you are showing them love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, no one can misunderstand what that is, because when you look out in the world and see the opposite of that, what you're looking for is that kind of haven and safe place that we provide for our families. So that is the word for the men today. And remember how important you are for God, and expect God to bless you greatly this week. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Thank you, Amen. Bishop Lester Carver. Amen. Hallelujah. What a good word. Ooh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thanks to God. We have had a wonderful service here today. And I just want to thank once again Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and the mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, for being in the house with us with me this morning. They are truly faithful. Now, I want to suggest to you, or just let you know, that you can hear all of these mighty servant leaders throughout the week here at Spirit Alive. And they are, because they all have their own ministries, they are all blessing God's people through the word of God. They have, you know, they go deeper in the word. We just don't scuba dive over the world here at Spirit Alive. We go deeper. So if, you know, I am cordially inviting you to listen to all the programs here at Spirit Alive. Tomorrow, you can listen to Pastor and Bishop Carver as they bring you their program, God's Great Love for Us. Thank you, Jesus. And then on Tuesday, Bishop comes right back in. As I said, he's faithful. And he does his Tuesday night teaching. This coming Wednesday, we will have Walking in Valor of Virtue with Pastor Dorcel Ware. On Friday, we will have Standing in Valor with Pastor, with Bishop Eric Ware. And then on Saturdays, you can always catch the summit. Now, all of our programs here at Spirit Alive, they air during Monday through Friday. All our programs air at 6 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our programs on Saturday and Sunday air at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So on behalf of myself, all the wonderful servant leaders that were here today, we just want you to study to show yourselves approved. We want you to be all the best. We want you to always be the very best that you can be for the kingdom of God. So if there be nothing else, hallelujah, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly until we come together again. This has been Apostle Shalene Cook, praying that you all continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in everything that you do. And from our household of faith to your household, we pray that you truly be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, but so do we. Hallelujah. Yeah. Have a beautiful and blessed week, saints. I love you, Spirit Alive family. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Love you too.
And a beautiful and happy Anna 35th to the Carvers. Hallelujah. We love you. 35
and
more. Come on.
Amen.
Glory to God, saints. Have a great day.